Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
So there is this other event on the Christian calendar other than Easter. It's an important event, but it should always be second to this one. Christmas. Have you ever heard of it? At Christmas time, we sing these things called Christmas carols. And perhaps the most famous Christmas carol of all is Joy to the World. That song is pumped all over radio waves, all over the world during almost 2 months. Shopping malls. And there are some deep truths in this song. But sometimes I wonder if we actually don't really reflect and understand some of the words in that song. And so at Easter, where we remember the cross and the resurrection, perhaps it's time for us to, with all the other superfluous stuff out of the way, to maybe reflect on that one little phrase in this song. Verse 3 goes like this: "No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found." And we sing that, and we hear it over the radio, and we hear it in the shopping malls, but I wonder, do we actually reflect and know what that means? What is this talk of blessing and cursing? Well, today, I'd like us to reflect for a few minutes before we come around the communion table on something called the malediction and the benediction and how they intersect for us at the cross. Now, many of you are probably very familiar with the second term there, the benediction. It means the blessing. The malediction is actually the opposite. It's the curse. The curse and the blessing. And the verse that I want us to reflect on as we come around the communion table, just one, is this: Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree." When my son Caleb was really small, he liked to dress up in superhero outfits. Anyone still in that phase? Superman, Spider-Man, you know, the Star Wars, but his favorite was Batman. There's a picture. Once for a youth event, we had superhero night, and that was when I had hair, too. And I rented a Robin outfit, and we went as Batman as Robin, the duo, and we still are that. But he was about 4 years old. That's not the story that I want to tell about this. When he was around 4 years old, my wife Erica, at the church we were at, she formed this little play group. And it was kind of an outreach into the community and invited a lot of the moms to come in. And in the gym, they had some tables and chairs and coffee and set up. And the kids could play while the parents could chat. Great outreach to the community. And so she kind of spearheaded that. And she asked a few other ladies to come and help her do that. And so there was a lot of setup to do before. I think it was on a Tuesday morning that they would do this. And so I think it was a particular Tuesday. Caleb dressed up in his Batman outfit there. And he joins his mom to go set up for this playgroup, because obviously my wife had to go early and set up. And so Caleb is playing in the toys as Erica is setting up the tables and chairs and everything else. And there's this older lady in our church that was helping Erica do this whole playgroup. And so she sees Caleb there in his little Batman outfit. And she starts complimenting Caleb on his superhero-ness. "You're really strong." And then in an innocent way, she says, "It looks like you're going to save a damsel in distress." And Caleb, 4 years old, looks at her mortified. His jaw drops as if she has committed some mortal sin. And in all seriousness, he looks at her and he says, "Don't say damn." We teach our kids not to curse. Or you should teach your kids not to curse. But every once in a while, one of those curses come out of us in some of the most random things. A golf ball that doesn't go where we want it to. A slow car in front of us. Yeah. Nobody has hit a jarring pothole and said, "God bless you, government." Right? We curse random things, but we also know the heaviness that happens and a line that crosses in our hostility with someone else when there's a curse that comes at a person. I think we all know that there's cursing things, and okay, that's one thing, but when it turns to somebody else, there's a line that you cross in that hostility when it's expletive you. Whew. That can be crushing from someone who might be close to you, right? A curse is a powerful thing. That's why we teach our kids not to curse things, especially people. But did you know that the idea of a curse did not originate with mankind? That wasn't our idea. It was actually God's. Not long into we get into the few first pages of this book, like season one, episode one, and life is really good. He creates the world, it's really good, it's really good, and then he creates mankind, it's very good. It is blessed in the full sense of the word. But then in season one, episode two, it doesn't take long before this whole snarl comes in and we mess this thing up with sin. And then for the first time in all of reality, God introduces something that he's never had before, a curse. And he curses the serpent. If you know the story, who tempted Eve, he curses the woman, he curses the man, he curses all of creation, but perhaps the worst curse of all is that he banishes mankind from the garden, from his presence, from seeing his face. Mankind is damned in the full and complete sense of the word, in the proper sense of the word. That's why we teach our kids, don't say damn. That's heavy. None of us want to hear a curse from someone else, especially God. But the opposite of a curse is a blessing. Some traditions, or some church traditions, have their pastor or their spiritual leader say this benediction or this blessing from Numbers chapter 6 at the end of the service. And once in a while, we will do that here. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Who doesn't want that? Wow. The face of God, the countenance of God, the blessing of God. In biblical days, when you didn't have Zoom or FaceTime to see someone's face, it meant that they were close. And you have this picture of God that is just beaming with joy over his child. A blessing. Whatever is mine is yours. But I don't understand, you say. We're under the curse. We're banished from God's presence. How on earth could Israel hear this, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and Lord up his countenance to you and give you peace? Well, the verse before that, it explains that the people that were to read this to the general people were the Levites and the priests. The Levites and the priests were the mediators, as we learned a couple weeks ago, that they mediated these blood sacrifices at the temple where all of the curse of God was poured out on that sacrifice. It's called substitution. All the curse that was supposed to be on mankind was poured out on that lamb or that ox or that bull or that little dove, and so that the curse wouldn't come on mankind. And so then the Levites could then say to the people, the Lord bless you and keep us, and Lord make his face shine upon you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So the curse went on something else so that the blessing could go on the people. They called this concept propitiation, big scary word, but it just means to turn away the wrath of God. Instead of putting the wrath on people, it goes on something else. And so in the New Testament, as we learned a few weeks ago, that Jesus is our great high priest, He fulfills all these blood sacrifices with his death on the cross, and he absorbs the curse on the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, so that we can hear the blessing of God. Whew. Can you imagine with me for a moment that I stood up at the end of a service, and instead of giving the benediction, I gave the malediction? The Lord curse you and abandon you. The Lord turn his back on you and give you judgment instead of grace. The Lord put you in darkness and remove his presence and his peace from you. Have a good day. Not exactly the warm fuzzies, eh? You might go home going, well, Pastor Brent's a little bit prickly today. The malediction. But yet that is what Jesus received on the cross from his own Father. You see, Jesus didn't hear the benediction on the cross. Jesus heard the malediction. Can you imagine how crushing that must have felt? The Lord curse you and abandon you. The Lord turn his back on you and give you judgment instead of grace. The Lord put you in darkness and remove his presence and his peace from you. This is why, friends, Jesus says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is why 3 hours before his death, there's darkness that covers the land. Because the Father turns his face away from his Son. Nobody wants to hear a curse from somebody else, especially from God. But the good news that we celebrate on Good Friday is that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree. He redeemed us. The redemption is purchased by payment of a price, purchasing a slave. And so we were a slave to sin. And he purchased us from freedom from ever hearing the malediction from God. So if we put our faith and trust in Jesus on the cross, we hear the blessing of God instead of the cursing of God. So we no longer have to live under his curse. This is why it is joy to the world at Christmas time. For as the curse is found, because the curse is found in here, and the curse is found in you and me. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus absorbed the curse, and he set us free from even hearing that curse so that you and I can hear this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. A number of years ago, I was helping my son with lawn mowing. He had a little lawn mowing business in the summer. He had like 7 customers and make a little bit of money. And so I would drive, and sometimes I would end up talking to these customers. And it was in Gibbons, and so sometimes in the conversation, it comes out that I'm a pastor, and that's usually a watershed in the conversation. Usually it shuts it down or it opens them up, and this one, this time, it opened it up. And this guy, he was a little bit older than me, and he was retired from the military, and he heard I was a pastor, and he was suffering from PTSD, and he just opened up about all these struggles in his life and all of his difficulties and all of his problems and all of the poor decisions that he had made in his life, and he's just opening up. And I was in that conversation trying to, you know, insert the gospel, exactly what I was just trying to tell you here, the malediction and the benediction, and Jesus absorbs all the curse. And he was insistent. He was insistent that God couldn't love him. He had so much guilt and shame in his life. He was insistent that God could not love him because of all of the things that he had done in his life. And I kept saying, no, that's the point of the gospel. That's the point of the cross. And there was one point in the conversation, he lifted his shirt. He lifted his shirt, and right across, tattooed across the top of his chest in these big letters, was the word sinner. And it was tattooed on his soul, too. Because that was his identity. He was living as if he was damned by God, as if he was living under the malediction. But I kept telling him that because of the cross, you don't have to hear that. You don't have to live under that shame. Because of the cross, you can hear the benediction.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.